Welcome to Ask the Chief Information Officer on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Every week, Federal News Radio interviews the CIOs of federal agencies about the latest directives, IT challenges, and successes.
I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Kevin Gallagher, the CIO of the U.S. Geological Survey. Kevin, thanks so much for joining us.
Well, you're welcome. It's my pleasure.
Well, let's start with some basics. The mission of the U.S. Geological Survey, I think people maybe have some idea, but I think it's pretty broad. So give me a high-level view of what you guys do, what your mission is.
Well, you're right, Jason. The breadth of the USGS mission is hard to describe in a few words. The simple answer is unbiased science for the nation. We like to call it science for a changing world. That's our motto. And we're somewhat unique in that we have no regulatory or resource management responsibilities. We have over 8,000 federal scientists and support staff in over 400 locations, mostly in the United States, but around the world. And we conduct research literally maintaining thousands of monitoring sites. The strength of the USGS is our broad array of science expertise. We have USGS programs that include natural hazards such as our earthquake, volcano, landslide programs. We have a network of over 7,000 stream gauges that monitor water availability, programs that study things like wildlife disease, invasive species, climate change, and conduct important resource assessments for energy potential, mineral potential. And we're also the world's largest civilian mapping agency. We operate the Landsat 5 and Landsat 7 satellites and provide remote imagery to the nation and to the world. So we collect a lot of data. We've collected data through our programs dating back to the 1800s and through our research like paleogeology and, you know, in the Ice Core Lab, we can actually look back in time. So literally looking back thousands and in some cases millions of years to understand the evolution of the Earth's processes and climatic issues, temperature, precipitation. And this data provides a tremendous context for understanding the changes that are taking place today. Along the way, we work with a lot of partners, universities, state and local collaborators, to conduct our research and document our findings. And, of course, we're an agency within the Department of Interior, so we partner with our sister bureaus, and we work a lot on some of their important resource management issues.
I think most people know you guys, the mapping, the largest civilian mapping agency, as you mentioned, but it's really, really interesting that, you know, the 8,000 scientists, you know, you maintain thousands of monitoring sites. And then obviously with the earthquake that just happened in the Pacific, that probably keeps you guys busy as well. It's a lot that goes on.
Absolutely. There is a lot that goes on. You know, you mentioned the earthquakes. It's very often that a natural event will occur. Just, you know, in the last few weeks, we also had the fires in Southern California. And so the station fire denuded a lot of the land around mountainous areas in Los Angeles. And, of course, it paved the way for the opportunity for not only a dust moving around and having an impact on human health, but also the real potential for landslides. And so, you know, we find ourselves very often right there on the front end of natural disasters happening both in the U.S. and around the world.
And obviously, USCIO has to support all that data collection, all that processing, making sure, I imagine, that the data can travel back and forth between whatever site the scientists are at and some main data center. Talk about your role as CIO and how you support that big, broad USGS mission.
So the first thing I'd like to point out is that as CIO, I'm a member of the executive leadership team. And that's really important. I think that CIOs can tell you that sometimes the CIO can end up off in a corner, focused solely on operational or technology issues. But here at USGS, information is our currency. And it's really recognized as such by the executive leadership team. The old saying that science is not science unless it's published, it really applies here. And a lot of our technology infrastructure underpins, obviously, our programs. But our information programs also communicate the results of our findings. So the USGS really works and recognizes information as an integral part of their mission. I can tell you a couple years ago as Chief Technology Officer, I was selected to co-chair the USGS Science Strategy Team. This is a 10-year vision for the organization to sort of unite the strengths of our disciplines, biology, hydrology, geology, geography, around some complex science challenges that are facing our nation, things like climate change, energy and minerals, natural hazards, water availability, human health, ecosystems. And the fact that the organization reached out to the information, the IT community, to be an integral part of that vision, I think is a real statement. Organizationally, I oversee the cross-cutting or shared infrastructure for the USGS, and that includes the USGS libraries. We have 22 in all that are open to the public. Our enterprise publishing staff, we produce over 2,000 products a year from our USGS science publication series, our education program, and of course our information technology infrastructure. And that includes things like the enterprise web, messaging, our telecommunications infrastructure services. So I do, as CIO, I have the kind of responsibilities you would expect from Clinger Cohen as well, including enterprise architecture and information security, records management, privacy. And so it's never a dull day for me here at USGS.
You and every other CIO there, right?
That's right.
You mentioned you have 400 locations across the U.S., maybe even around the world. You maintain monitoring sites. Is that all your responsibility in terms of a CIO to make sure that the infrastructure works, that the data is communicated back and forth? Or do you you don't worry about the specific monitoring device, you just make sure that whoever is worried about that monitoring device can connect to the
organization? And maybe I can address that question specifically. Is programmatically, we have policy, planning, budgeting as a function of headquarters here in Reston, Virginia. That's our headquarters for the USGS. And we have this responsibility over the cross-cutting information technology and information programs, and we run those as national programs. But as I did mention, we are geographically dispersed. So from an operational perspective, I have operational staff out in the field at our regional offices. And here in Reston, we do have a regional office here, Denver, Colorado, Menlo Park, California, and a number of satellite offices in different states. Cutting right to your question, we also have information programs that are part of our science disciplines, right? So we have the Advanced National Seismic Network, the National Water Information System, the National Biological Information Infrastructure, the National Map. These IT programs sit in the disciplines, but they share this common infrastructure. So a recent example is with these earthquake events. What's really important for us in my office is to be challenging for this purpose for these kinds of events.
Let me ask you about that infrastructure a little bit. Is it considered centralized, decentralized, a hybrid where, you know, sometimes data is kept locally, but then it gets updated nightly or every other night to a central server? How does it work?
So let me give you a good example for our enterprise that requires us to really think about the design of our infrastructure. So in the enterprise web, we've created redundant servers at our regional locations of Reston, Menlo, Denver, and Sioux Falls, South Dakota. So we have servers in those locations that not only provide an opportunity for redundancy and replication, but also from a performance standpoint, we can sort of round robin those in terms of delivering content to the web. The other thing we do is we engage with various vendors in terms of services to quickly replicate our content on their networks so that as demand really goes up, we're using our servers as origin servers, replicating that data really globally on other web servers so that we can meet that demand. So that's sort of maybe one example that might be useful for you.
All right, that's fascinating, and I want to talk more about it, but we're going to have to take a break. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Kevin Gallagher, the Chief Information Officer of the U.S. Geological Survey.
Federal News Radio in a Web 2.0 world. Find Federal News Radio on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/FedNewsRadio or join the Federal News Radio group on Facebook. Chat with our team and make connections with others in the federal arena. Email us at fnrcomment@federalnewsradio.com. Visit our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, your source for federal news. Now. We'll be right back. Headed to Fort Detrick or the I-270 Technology Corridor, Federal News Radio can be heard crystal clear on 820 AM in Frederick, Maryland. It's the same great station, just on an added frequency. Get the latest news about the federal government and government contractors. Hear exclusive interviews with the movers and shakers in the federal arena. Federal News Radio, 1500 AM or 820 AM in Frederick, Maryland. Federal News Radio, your source for federal news now.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Kevin Gallagher, the CIO of the U.S. Geological Survey. Before break, we were talking a lot about the way your office is set up, how you kind of run your infrastructure. When you look at your infrastructure and when you look at all the things you have to do, what are your maybe top priorities over the next 6 or 9 months that you hope to accomplish?
We have a lot going on, but maybe if I could touch upon a few of the high-level priorities. One is with regard to our library. We're digitizing our library. And so over the next 6 months, we want to add some online journals and fine-tune our journal subscriptions that we're providing to our scientists. We want to scan more of our holdings and post more USGS publications to what we call our publications warehouse. Just real quickly, our library has been operating continuously since 1882. It's one of the world's largest libraries for earth and natural science. And so it includes lots of holdings in terms of books, maps, and artifacts. But getting all of that online and digitizing it is a really important goal for us, and it's something that we're doing over time. Also, we're working from a technology perspective. We're working on a video streaming initiative. We're working to implement some infrastructure that allow us to sort of enhance our collaboration. One of the things we want to be able to do is real-time stream scientific talks and messages from our executives, as well as improve the opportunity for video communications and doing it over our IP network so it's really accessible to all of our folks wherever they happen to be out on the landscape. Another one of our big challenges is data integration. I mentioned briefly our science strategy, which unites the USGS science disciplines around some cross-cutting high-level societal priorities like climate change. And we recognize that integrating the data is a key enabler in bringing those disciplines together. So some of the issues that we're working on, we want to make it easier to find and get all this vast store of USGS data that we have, not only for our scientists, but also for the public. So we're looking at exposing our data through web services. We're looking at developing portals to make it easier to access that information. And we're working with scientists on standards so that we can get some interoperability between these data sets. In a nutshell, I'd say those are three of my big priorities, digitizing the library, video streaming, and data integration.
All right, let's start with the digitizing of the library, because as you said, you have a huge collection starting back from 1882, so well over 130 years. Talk a little bit about how you're doing that. I mean, is this a typical take the piece of paper, scan it, put it in the computer, make it available to everyone, or is there more to it?
The heavy lifting of actually taking paper and scanning it is a big part of it. It certainly is. Not only books, maps, all kinds of, even field notes. We have handwritten field notes from geologists from literally, 150 years ago. They're actually useful today to be able to see their observations. But it is more than that. We're not doing this under some major new funding initiative. So it's a balance of understanding to what extent do we have to hold our holdings on bookshelves versus how much can we convert in terms of electronic journals, because electronic journals have a cost associated with it. And so, what we work with our science partners to understand their priorities in terms of science research and try to balance between what we hold in our physical holdings with what we can make available online.
And I'm sure there's a lot of interest to what you guys can make available online as well. As you said, 8,000 scientists around the country who are interested in getting this, but also academia and other for-profit and non-profit people who are interested in probably looking at what the data you guys have collected over the years.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And one of the great things about USGS is a lot of our data is available for free through our website. I mentioned the fact that we've been operating satellites, and we have this vast collection of over 30 years of imaging data. You can access that at USGS website. Websites for free. We have the USGS store, Occasionally, we sell for a nominal fee some of our USGS map products, the ones that are that you're going to find printed form. But you know, more and more, we're trying to make all of our data available and downloaded in formats that are electronic and easily consumed by the public.
And that's a great segue to the next priority that you guys are working on, data integration. Now, obviously, you're talking about standards here to a certain extent, but you're also looking at ways to make the data more easily accessible. Now, have you guys started a project around using web services or portals, or are you really just at the beginning stages?
If you ask 17 different people what is data integration, they're going to give you 17 different answers. Some people see it through the lens of standards. Some people might say data warehouse. Other people might talk about XML. So it's been a challenge for us to sort of create a cohesive vision. But this year, I've chartered what we're calling our Council for Data Integration and our Community of Practice. And we have practitioners from across the USGS getting together and looking at this vision. And so through this council, what we have is we have working groups. And so we have working groups, for example, working on metadata, trying to take a look at how we're going to posture ourselves in terms of not only educating scientists about metadata, but coming up with sort of standard metadata so that as we try to build a scientific data catalog, if you will, it's easily searchable. We also, this year, we are going to take on a project to try to expose some of our corporate data through web services. We're going to take three of our major corporate data sets, and pretty much this is internal for this year, so I don't want the public to expect to see this, but we're going to be working internally to try to expose this data, and our litmus test is actually we're working with different GIS applications, and our goal is to be able to make it really easy for our scientists to retrieve this data directly into a GIS so that they can plot geospatially relevant data, whether that's stream gauge data or whether that's mineral resource data, right onto their desktop and use that as part of their analysis geospatially. So we definitely do have projects that we're launching off on to try to get some traction around this issue.
All right. Sounds like something to check back in with you in maybe a couple months.
Absolutely.
The other thing that is big in the government, and I think you guys are jumping into as well, is the idea of Web 2.0, using Twitter, using other types of social media. Talk a little bit about how you guys have started down that path.
Well, so the first thing I want to say, Jason, is that the USGS has many traditional outlets for our information products and services. I mentioned our libraries, and we have this publication series where we've been producing for years the results of our research. We have the web. We have these data portals. We also have a lot of talks. We give a lot of science talks and formal professional journals that we publish in. And so I would characterize the decision to use Web 2.0 as a decision to complement our existing information channels and really to sort of experiment with innovative new ways to engage the public or to enhance our mission. You know, we're finding that these tools offer both the opportunity to publish information but also to mine information. And I'll give you a couple of really interesting examples. During the floods in the upper Midwest last spring, our scientists found that the footage that was being posted to YouTube and Google Video were really actually very useful to understand the extent of the flooding that was going on. In our earthquake programs, we're finding that mining Twitter, we can actually get detailed accounts of the impact of ground shaking, similar to what we're doing with Did You Feel It? And so by analyzing this information geographically, we can actually develop a detailed map of the intensity of the shaking. So I never underestimate the creativity of our scientists to find new ways of using technology. In January, you might remember that Redout volcano up in Alaska started erupting. And up in Alaska, we have our Alaska Volcano Observatory. And we work with the state and the local government and emergency response organizations during an event like that. You know, volcanoes, they don't tend to be sort of single events that just happen and then go away. An eruption can literally last for days or weeks or even months, and it can increase or decrease in intensity sort of along the way. And so Twitter there offers for us sort of a new method of really quickly updating our partners on the volcano's activity in real time. And so So from that aspect, certainly these 2.0 technologies, social media, we find that they can often be key contributors to our portfolio. And so we're looking into it and we're sort of jumping into it. I'd say cautiously, but encouraged by what we're seeing.
All right. Well, we're going to have to take another break, but we're going to come back and talk maybe a little bit more about Web 2.0. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Kevin Gallagher, the Chief Information Officer of the U.S. Geological Survey.
Listen to Federal News Radio 1500 AM throughout the day for the latest news about the federal government and government contractors. Join the Federal Drive with Tom Tamman and Jane Norris, mornings from 6 to 10. In Depth with Francis Rose from 1 to 3, and The Daily Debrief with Chris Dorabeck and Amy Morris, afternoons from 3 to 7. Find all the news you need 24/7 at federalnewsradio.com. Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, your source for federal news now. Tired of playing catch-up with the news? Stay informed all the time with the Federal News Flash. The Federal News Flash is a daily email from Federal News Radio that will bring you the latest news and information about the federal government and the federal contracting world. Find out about exclusive stories and interviews only heard on Federal News Radio. Sign up for the Federal News Flash at federalnewsradio.com. Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, your source for federal news now.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Kevin Gallagher, the CIO of the U.S. Geological Survey. Now, Kevin, before break, we talked a lot about how you guys are using Web 2.0. Do you see any challenges? Do you have any concerns about how Web 2.0 is being used within the agency?
I think, like many other federal agencies, we're being watchful of both the benefits and the risk of Web 2.0. You know, we're currently working to get a solid policy in place in terms of how you use these technologies and what kind of information that you publish via this media. We want to coordinate our efforts. Obviously, we don't want to end up with redundant or conflicting outlets of information across our organization. And we want to ensure the integrity of our information. For us, that's really important. We have a long tradition of scientific integrity and rigorous processes in terms of publication of our results. And so, you know, this media is essentially another information channel, and we want to make sure that we're publishing with the same integrity as we are in all of our other channels. And, of course, it's also important to note that there's some security and privacy risks associated with this new media. And so, yeah, I'd say we're being watchful of all of those things, and those are challenges as we're moving forward with our Web 2.0 strategy.
You mentioned about working to get a solid policy in place. Is that something that's coming from USGS? Is that something coming from Interior as a whole? And is there something already in the works, or you guys are just at the beginning stages?
Absolutely, there's something in the works. We actually have what we're calling an interim policy right now in draft, and it's working its way through our chain of command for signature that I hope to release that in the next month. We are also working with the Department of Interior. The department's communications office is on record saying that these Web 2.0 technologies are important, an important piece of the vision for the Department of Interior, as well as our sister agencies. And so we have a working group at the department level that is working out these policies issues, and I expect to see a policy at the department level as well soon.
Now, along those lines of Web 2.0, there's data.gov. I know it's not exactly social media, but it is the idea of getting data out there, open government, transparency. Now, Interior Department played a big role in data.gov, and how are you guys at USGS providing data? What's your role around data.gov?
So first, I want to acknowledge a lot of leadership from our department, CIO, Sanjeev Bagwalia, we call him Sonny. Sonny partnered with a lot of other federal executives on actually heavy lifting in the development of data.gov, and we're very much behind it. Obviously, producing information and providing it to the public is a big part of what we do. So we jumped on the bandwagon pretty early. One thing we did was we supported them in the development of sort of a metadata standard for data.gov. And then secondly, we immediately started taking what I would call our marquee data sets and getting them posted up on data.gov. And if you visit data.gov, you'll find that the USGS data sets are ranked as some of the highest in terms of the value that people have independently rated them. And so initially, it was more about me working with our chief scientists and our executive leadership team to identify some major corporate data sets, data holdings that would be valuable on data.gov. Since then, we've sort of chartered a little working group to look at this more in the long term of, how do we reach down in our organization? Because we literally have hundreds, if not thousands, of data sets, project data sets out there that may have some value. And so that involves a process of education in terms of getting our scientists to recognize that this is an outlet for them, and also putting some processes to make it easy for them to build the metadata around their data set and get it loaded up there on data.gov. My understanding is that the future direction of data.gov, right now there's kind of a pretty manual process of documenting your metadata and then emailing the links to your data to the core team. And I think they're moving in the future more toward sort of a web services model where data.gov will actually go out and mine federal data sets through more of an information architecture. So,
all right, I'm sure that's going to keep you busy over the next few years without a doubt. We are almost out of time. So I wanted to, before I let you go, talk a little bit about your background. You mentioned that you came in to the USGS, I think, as the CTO, and I know you've been there since 2002. Talk a little bit about how your experience at USGS, where else have you worked, whether in government or in industry, and how you got to your current role?
Well, so I'm an information technologist from way back. I have both undergraduate and graduate degrees in information systems, as well as a CIO certificate from the National Defense University. I started work as a computer programmer back in 1983, and I came up through sort of a systems development career path, both in the government and out of the government as a contractor in the early years. I was fortunate to have some opportunities to lead some major development projects. I worked for the Navy for about 8 or 9 years, and then I worked for the Coast Guard. And before coming to the USGS, I served as the chief of operations at the Coast Guard's Operations Systems Center. And that's a significant-sized data center that houses about 80% of the Coast Guard's mission applications. But I'll tell you, I've always been sort of a scientist wannabe. And when the opportunity presented itself to work at USGS, a premier science organization, as the CTO, I jumped at the chance.
Well, we are out of time, so I'd like to thank you very much. You've been listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today was Kevin Gallagher, the CIO of the U.S. Geological Survey. Kevin, thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, thank you, Jason. It's been my pleasure.
You've been listening to Ask the Chief Information Officer on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Ask the CIO, Thursday mornings at 10:30, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.
WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, worldwide on federalnewsradio.com. News and information for and about the federal decision maker. Weekday mornings 6 to 10, listen to The Federal Drive with Tom Temin and Jane Norris. They'll give you the story behind the headlines and talk to the federal newsmakers themselves. Then it's In Depth with Francis Rose from 1 to 3, focusing on career development for the federal executive. 3 to 7, join Chris Dorobek and Amy Morris for the Daily Debrief. Live interactive news and analysis on the things that affect your federal career. Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.